Good evening, everyone. To our guests, as we've already mentioned, we thank you for being here tonight. We welcome you here to the Southeast Church of Christ, and we hope and pray that you'll be willing to share your contact information with us after our Bible study tonight. To our brothers, of course, and sisters, thank you for being here as well. I know that some of us, right, have had long days at work. Others, perhaps, are going through some health woes, but we're grateful to be here tonight and to be able to be together to study the Word of our God together. What are we studying on Wednesdays?
Proverbs.
Very good. We're studying Proverbs. We've already seen in great detail the introductory material into the book of Proverbs. And we've been able to see not only the different types of Proverbs that we find in the Bible, but some of them, of course, that we're going to find in our study. But this evening, we're going to start with chapter 1. And we're not going to read it all at the moment, but in chapter 1, we know it is composed by 33 different proverbs. Now, typically, we would say 33 different verses, but remember, each one of these verses is a proverb. What is a proverb again? A pithy saying, right? A pithy saying, a small saying, or a concise, right, saying that makes a comparison and that is packed with wisdom, with knowledge, and with understanding. A proverb is very similar to a parable, okay? A proverb is very similar to a parable. I want you to go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Notice what the Bible says beginning at verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. What does this sound similar to from the New Testament? Very good. Jesus is teaching because Jesus taught how? Using parables, right? In Matthew 13, in the kingdom parables, we see that Jesus is described by the inspired amanuensis that he taught the people in parables. These parables are also wise sayings, aren't they? So notice that Solomon, who is believed and is internal evidence both in the book of Proverbs as well as in the book of Ecclesiastes, to have been the one who have written these proverbs, these wise sayings. Notice that here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9, as he's identifying himself as the preacher, or the Koheleth, right? He is saying that he used these proverbs as a way of teaching the people, right? It says that he still taught the people. He taught them knowledge. So when we pay attention to this, we have to remember that the first six verses, or the first seven verses of the book, are what? What do we find in the first seven verses, specifically verse 7? What was that? You find wisdom, okay. We find the thesis statement, don't we? We find the key to the entire book. Thus, the first six proverbs that lead to the seventh proverb are leading to the heart of the book. And for this reason, it's important that we begin by understanding how it is. Now, who was Solomon's father? King David, right? You know, it's very interesting. That father and son sought to do something similar. Okay? David was Israel's beloved king. But not only was he Israel's beloved king, he was also known as the sweet singer of Israel, right? Why was he known as the sweet singer of Israel? Was he an artist? Well, of sorts, he was, right? But he wrote the Psalms. Not all of them, but a good portion of them. What was Jesus' favorite book to quote from? The book of Psalms. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 34 and verse 35, Jesus refers to the Psalms as the law. We see that in Luke, when Luke talks about how Jesus opened the understanding after his resurrection, they understood the Psalms. They understood the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, says Scripture. So, it's interesting, right, that both Father and Son had a similar mindset. They had a similar mindset of using this type of literature to teach the people. And for this reason, what I want you and I to do in this evening, in the time that has been allotted to us, pay close attention as we compare Psalm 1 with Proverbs 1, 1 through 6. Okay? Psalm 1 and Proverbs 1, 1 through 6. We're going to read Proverbs 1, 1 through 6 first. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now again, remember, verse 7 is the key to the whole book, right? But verse 6, 1 through 6 is leading us toward that book. Just hearing me read, what do these first 6 proverbs sound like? Thinking simply, not anything too profound. What does it sound like? What do they sound like when you hear them or when you read them? What is Solomon doing here? He's constructing, right? He's instructing, he's constructing, but he's also giving an explanation, isn't he? In the first 6 verses of the chapter 1, he's giving us an explanation as to why it is important to know about wisdom. He is teaching us and he's explaining us the purpose of having wisdom, the value of having wisdom. When we read these first 6 verses, now go Psalm 1. Someone, if you can please read Psalm 1 for me. Psalm 1. All of it. Psalm 1.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the calf which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Now, having read both of them side by side, do we see how parallel and how similar they are? What is the purpose of the Psalms? The same purpose of the Proverbs, isn't it? To teach us about the law of God. In Psalms, it teaches us about the will and the law of God. In Proverbs, what do we say was an overarching theme of the book? Wisdom is the theme, but what's an overarching theme? The fear of the Lord, or the fear of God, right? Notice how in Psalm 1, we see in Psalm 1 and in Proverbs 1, 1 through 6, like Father, like Son. You see that? But we also see the instruction of his Father to his Son, who is now a Father himself and is doing what? Teaching his Son in the same path that he was taught in. We establish, right, in Psalm 1, we see how David is writing this. We can clearly see David very likely reading this psalm to his son. We can see David giving these instructions to Solomon as a young man before he received the crown. For example, in the first three verses, we see the definition of what a wise man is, right? The wise man is blessed. A wise man is blessed because he is wise in his choices. Notice that in verse 1, he chooses not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He chooses not to stand in the path of sinners, but he also makes a choice not to even sit in the seats of the scornful. But it doesn't only tell us what he does not do. It also tells us what he does do. Verse 2, what does he do? He delights in the law of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. We go back to Proverbs 1. Because the wise man, as described by David in Psalm 1, is not only blessed, but is a man who is recognized by his choices, both in the negative and in the positive. His wisdom is not only in what he chose not to do, but his wisdom is also in what he chose to do. Pay attention to verses 2 and forward. It says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. There is what he chose to do, right? To give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. We can make an argument that these first six verses are an elaboration or an expansion of what the blessed man is, according to Psalm 1:1-3. We see that Solomon expands on why that man is blessed. Why choosing not to sit, stand, or walk in the path of the unrighteous came to be from his wisdom that he attained from the instruction of God's word. Hence, notice how Psalm 1, like Proverbs 1:1-6, leads us to the heart of wisdom, right? It leads us to what wisdom is. Remind me again, how have we defined wisdom? Very good. The forethought, foreknowledge, or foresight, whichever of the fours you want to use, right? Just not the attorney. Of seeing the end before it even begins, right? Trying to see with wise judgment what the outcome will be. Not so that you can be psychic, because that's not what we're talking about, but so that you can make a judicious, righteous, wise decision as to how to plan appropriately. Well, what did the blessed man do when he saw the ungodly that he was approaching? What choice did the wise man do according to Psalm 1:1 when he saw the ungodly?
Go the other way.
He didn't even stop, did he? He either went the other way or he kept going. But one thing he did was he chose not to lend him what? An ear. He paid no attention to their ungodly advice. Yes, sir.
You know, I was thinking about what you're saying. We see the end of all things where there will be a judgment before it has begun. We see the end of this world before it's begun. We see the end of our life before it's begun. We see the end of our children's life as we teach them. All of wisdom is preparing us by looking ahead and having foresight for what will be coming and what we can do to, in accordance with God's word, prepare for it.
But pay attention to the fact, right, that foresight is not only in the negative sense. Foresight is also in the positive sense. Because verse 7 is a positive passage. Notice, verses 1-6, it's a pathway leading to wisdom. It's fascinating that the first six verses of a book of wisdom are not about wisdom, but rather how to get there. Pay attention to how verse 2 speaks, right? To know wisdom. What's the difference between to know wisdom and to be wise? Or to know wisdom, to be wise, and to have wisdom?
To know it when you see it.
To apply.
I can know wisdom, but does it mean that I'm wise?
No.
I can know wisdom, but does it mean that I have it? You see, in Psalm 1:1, the man who avoids the pathway of the ungodliness is demonstrating that he knows it, he is it, because he has it. What makes him blessed? Wisdom from above. How do we know this? Psalm 1:2. What is he meditating day and night? What is his delight? The law of the Lord. So Psalm 1:2 gives us a definition and an illustration of what Proverbs 1:7 means. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The final three verses of Psalm talks about the fool, doesn't it? Verses 4, 5, and 6 of Psalm 1 gives us the contrast. Now, remember, Proverbs, like parables, are comparison and contrast, right? Like father, like son. Psalm 1 is a comparison and a contrast between he who is blessed and he who is what? Cursed, right? Because he who rejects wisdom and he who refuses to accept God's law, can he be blessed? His refusal and his rejection of God's word is his own curse, isn't it? He denies himself the blessings of eternity. There is no fear in that man. In another psalm, David says, what about the foolish man? What does the foolish man say in his heart? There is no God. Well, why does the foolish man say there is no God? Because he's rejecting God's law. Because he refuses to acknowledge God. Pharaoh from the book of Exodus, was he a wise king or was he a foolish king? He was a fool, right? What did he respond to Moses when Moses says, the Lord God has said, let his people go so that we may go out to the wilderness and offer him a burnt offering? What was Pharaoh's response to the first time that Moses appeared?
It is God that I shall obey his voice.
The fool says, there is no God. Was it true that Pharaoh didn't know who Jehovah God was? No. Who were his slaves? The Hebrews. And which God did the Hebrews serve? Jehovah God, the God of all creation. Pharaoh knew. He just refused to acknowledge. What ended up happening to his kingdom? Why was it destroyed? He picked the fight with outside of his weight class, didn't he? Because remember that according to history, pharaohs believed themselves to be demigods, didn't they? The word pharaoh in our language means son of Ra. They believed themselves to be the sons of Ra. They were direct children of their god king Ra. Their son king Ra. So Pharaoh decided, well, I'm a god too. Let's go at it and let's see who's the superior god. You have to admire the patience of our God. 9 times, in fact 10 times, right? 10 plagues, God gave him a chance. God could have knocked him out in the first round, and he gave him 10. So when we look at Psalm 1 and we look at Proverbs 1, the first six Proverbs, we see the parallels. And in seeing those parallels, it brings the great importance of verse 1. Because Solomon here could have just simply said the Proverbs of Solomon, King of Israel. But he found it fit and he found it wise to mention his father, the son of David. Not only because he knew that his father was a beloved king, but because he as a son was acknowledging his father's wisdom. He as his son was acknowledging the value of the instruction that he received from him. What commandment was Solomon fulfilling here? Honor thy father and thy mother. The path that leads to wisdom begins with our righteousness. It begins with our gratitude. If we are ungrateful children to our parents, wisdom is far from our reach. We begin by understanding that we did not choose our parents. That choice was made for us. Our parents didn't choose us as their children. That choice was made for them. And there's only one being that can make that choice. When we understand this and we begin to meditate this, in Proverbs 1:1, we see that the path to wisdom begins by not only acknowledging and being grateful to that father and that mother that our God has given us, but by recognizing how they contributed to who we are as a parent today. You know, the question is, well, what if we had an abusive father? What if my father was absent? What if my mother was absent? What if my mother was negligent and abusive? Well, you still learned something from them, didn't you?
You wouldn't be here without them.
You wouldn't be here without them, but you also learned what not to do with your own children. You learned what path not to guide your children on. You learned something, whether from the negative side or the positive side. Psalm 1:1 shows us both sides, doesn't it? It shows us the blessing of being wise, but it also shows us the curse of being a fool. Solomon here makes the choice that he was going to take the wise things that he learned from his father, in addition to the things that he learned himself as a father, and is now going to pass them on to his son, Rehoboam. But David wasn't perfect, was he? What did Solomon learn not to do from his father? Well, we can go into details, right? But that's a good study for you guys to do at home, right? But there was a lot that Solomon learned how not to rule as a king. There was a lot that Solomon learned from his father. For example, one of the greatest mistakes that David made was when he did the census, didn't he? What did Solomon learn from David in that bad mistake that he made? You rely on God, not on your military might. You thank God because he put you in that position. You don't take credit for yourself and not acknowledge his hand in your growth and in your blessings. Let me take you very quickly to chapter 3. I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Chapter 3. Someone please read verses 7 through 10 for us. Chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Proverbs 3, 7 through 10. Proverbs 3, verses 7 through 10.
Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine.
Do you think Solomon learned his father's lesson? David, in making that decision of having a census of all of his son's military might, he wasn't honoring God with all of his possessions, was he? In fact, he was not even being wise in the wisdom of God. He thought that it was important and valuable to know the strength of his military so that he could be prepared for the next war or the next battle. He needed to know his numbers. What David forgot was, you didn't always have those numbers, David, and you still became king. It wasn't through military might that you defeated Goliath. It wasn't through military might that you defeated Saul. In fact, you didn't defeat Saul. God defeated Saul for you. It doesn't matter how massive your army is. If God is with you, you are the one who yelled and made sure that Goliath and all of the Philistines heard very well that the battle belongs to whom? So why was David now making a census of his military might? He lost sight. Solomon remembered this lesson. And Solomon not only remembered this lesson, he now passes it on to his son, who one day will have to rule, right? So when we see the first six Proverbs, we are seeing how Solomon and his father are in agreement with one another. This then means that Solomon's wisdom began when he decided to take his father's direction, wasn't it? When he decided that this counsel that he was receiving from his father was valuable, that it was indeed godly, because he had seen how it served his father in his life. He had seen how it had been productive in his father's life. Solomon was able to recognize what wisdom was. And that's why verse 2 begins, to know wisdom. We will not learn to be wise if we cannot recognize the wise man to teach us. If we don't know who has what we need, and if we don't know to acknowledge who can teach me in the pathways that I want to go, then I haven't learned how to recognize what wisdom is. I have to know who the right teacher is, right? To know wisdom and instruction. Not only someone who is wise, but someone who can actually teach. Someone who actually has the ability that can teach me. You see, not every teacher can teach every student. Certain students need specific teachers. There are different ways of learning. And this then means that there are different ways of teaching. But not everybody can teach every student, and not everyone and not every person can learn from the same teacher. You know, Brother Moreno has brought this up before. There's a reason why Jesus chose 12 different men as disciples, where 11 of them would then become apostles, with Matthias then later added to them. Peter and Paul could be no more different than they were from each other, right? One was a fisherman from Galilee. The other one was a Pharisee from Tarshish. One learned at the feet of the master. The other one learned from Gamaliel and then from the feet of the master. But they also had their commonalities, didn't they? Have you ever thought about the fact that both Peter and Paul were brash? They were both brash. Only Jesus could stop them. When Peter took out his sword and removed the ear of Malchus' servant, What did Jesus tell him? Put your sword away. When Paul decided that those of the way were teaching false doctrine and were false teachers, what did he decide? They're guilty of breaking the law. They're teaching heresy. Therefore, they must be put to death. Who stopped Paul? You see the commonalities? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Only the Master, brethren. Only Christ could be a teacher to all. But only He could also learn from the greatest of them all. And yet God is telling us, through this book, I can be your teacher if you choose to be my disciple. Yes?
I have a question, and you may be covering this in a future class. In verse 6, are you going to go into the words of the wise and their riddles? Is that like when Jesus spoke and said someone not understand because of the way he spoke?
So another thing that we're going to see is that you're going to see that at the beginning of verse 2, it's in a way kind of like 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. It's incrementing. So it begins, notice in verse 2, with being able to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding. So it begins, right, by being able to identify. This is wisdom. This is understanding. This is instruction or knowledge, right? And in verse 6, as you brought it up, it is with, now not only can you identify it, you know how to use it. Notice, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. So verses 2 through 6 is leading us, again, on the path that leads toward wisdom. And thus verse 7 is showing us, or Proverbs 7 rather, is showing us that this process begins with fearing God. It identifies who's going to instruct us. Who's going to make this possible? Well, that was fast. Okay. Well, when we put our egos aside, when we decide that we are, when we rather accept that we don't know everything, and that I need God and His instruction, and He is the only teacher that can teach me, then if this is true and I truly believe this, verse 2 is the beginning, isn't it? Because I am acknowledging that God is wisdom. That His instruction will prepare me and train me in how to become wise. Three words are found through these six proverbs that are commonly used, that are, as we mentioned, the steps that lead to wisdom. Notice that in the proverbs we see knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. If you pay close attention to these three words, they're building blocks, aren't they? One leads to the other. I believe Orion, when he was teaching Colossians, kind of taught this, so this is more of a reminder for those who remember this. What's the difference between knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? First bell rang, so you may have homework if you don't answer quickly.
Knowledge is just to know something. Understanding is being able to relate it to yourself and your surroundings, and wisdom is being able to put it into action.
Okay. So knowledge is obtaining the instruction, right? Understanding is the processing of knowledge. And wisdom is taking the understanding and applying the knowledge. So wisdom is these two combined and in action. So now let's take it back to our definition because we have 2 minutes. The foresight to see the end before it begins. Well, first I need to know what is the end and how it begins. Then I have to understand how can I avoid it and what are the paths that are in front of me. And the wisdom is when I choose the best path to prevent an outcome that is not wise, godly, nor favorable. You see what wisdom is? As we continue next week, God willing, remember that Proverbs 1 through 6 are leading to the heart of wisdom. And once we've gotten into the heart of wisdom, Proverbs 7, the instruction begins in verse 8. We have to first get our mind in this frame of these 7 Proverbs, and we have to put ourselves in this mindset every time we approach our master teacher, so that then the instruction can begin to fill us with knowledge and understanding, so that we then can become wise. Our time is up. Next week, God willing, we'll pick up from where we left off. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we will be dismissed. Thank you all for your attention. Our precious Father and our heavenly God, Lord, once more we bow before thy throne of grace to give thee honor, glory, and praise. Father, we know that there is no other God outside of thee. And thus we bow to thee because only you have words of living eternal. Father, please give us the strength to be able to know and to understand the wisdom that comes from above. Allow us to use the tools that are found within this book of Proverbs so that we can live a life, Father, that is worth living in thy sight. And that every choice that we make in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions and reactions may always be, Father, vetted and filtered through thy holy counsel found in these inspired pages of thy word. Father, may what we've learned tonight may be permeating in our minds that we may meditate upon it day and night. And that, Father, those who have heard the voice of thy servant may actively study it to see, Father, if indeed thy servant has spoken in accordance to thy will. And if thy word has been rightly divided, and if it has been shared as, Father, you have designed it, may the honor and glory be thine, and that we, Father, may have the wisdom to put it into practice in our daily living. Forgive us, Father, for our sins. Forgive those who have sinned against us, for those who have offended us. And thank you, Father, for allowing us the time to make our crooked paths straight once more before thee. We pray this in the glorious and precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.